Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, March the 1st, 2024. And I have the honor to have Nicole Powers on with us, and you've got a site, Witness Speaks, correct? Nicole?
WitnessSpeaks.com, yes.
WitnessSpeaks.com. She's going to give us her report, like she does every Friday. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Nicole.
Thank you, Stu. Okay. Testimony of the family Wallace and Nathan Wade has finished this week.
Now that's the Georgia prosecutor trying to prosecute Trump.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Trump and the case with the Georgia election interference and Judge McCaffrey's court on whether Fannie and Wade should remain on the case. Much of a controversy hinges on her romantic relationship with Wade. Trump's defense team argued that Fannie's relationship with Wade created a conflict of interest, that Fannie paid Wade large sums of money for his work and then benefited from Wade by taking lavish luxury vacations. Willis and Wade did acknowledge in court of their relationship, but only after Fannie had hired him, and they claimed that it ended last summer. Now, Willis and Wade, this may be the argument that it created no conflict of interest, and it was not a burden on the case, and it didn't begin until 2022.
Now, Fannie paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, and so in salary, it was illegal. And then he took her on these luxurious vacations, folks. But go ahead.
Okay, but the relationship was built in early January this year, and Willis Dead talked about keeping stacks of cash. And this financial principle he taught his daughter. But the opposing counsel suspected it was city funds. If the case gets thrown out, or it's handed off to another prosecution counsel, they have several options. They could either they could throw it out, or they could charge Trump with either all the crimes or some of the crimes. The judge heard conflicting accounts from witnesses when they started dating, and it remains to be unclear if the judge will rule that the relationship caused a conflict of interest and that it merits that Fannie and Wade should be removed from the case. Evidence needs to be shown of the appearance of an actual conflict of interest, or to explain that the relationship actually existed prior to Wade being hired by Fannie, and getting lucrative contracts to benefit them personally. Okay, now Anthony Michael Creek follows the case closely, and Anthony Michael Creek is a law professor from the Georgia State University, and his opinion that it does view for him an actual conflict of interest, and the evidence proves that Fannie, she fought off the investigations in this matter, and the charges that was discussed that she that were brought against the Trump election, and how the interference of the co-defendants were, the rights of the co-defendants were violated. And also that the co-defendants, they were mistreated, okay? And the trouble with the family in ways that their actions cast a shadow over the whole case. And Willis and Wade should be disqualified and not participate in it anymore, and it's just a gross miscarriage of justice, and it shows that they have violated their ethics as lawyers, and they are potential before her by perjury. Both of them perjured themselves, and they should be dropped off the case. And it's probably that the trial, the case against Trump, will get drawn up, like I said before, or just go away because they can't prosecute him fast enough to get a conviction on the onset. So if the election proceeds and he becomes president, they'll have to throw it out because you can't do it. And out of all the defendants, four people pleaded guilty, and only Trump and 14 others stood with the plea of not guilty. And it's just supposed that Willis and Wade's relationship was problematic. Okay, and I have got this report from a YouTuber called Drama Verified by Nikki. And she said that Michael Ronan, he put in a brief of 127 pages and how he feels that the Biden administration, and even Trump said that they want to control and manage Trump. And they found out that... that when he went to Washington multiple times, he had two meetings with the White House staff, and there was a bill that was sent to the DA's office. I saw the invoice on her channel, and it totaled over $333,000 due. Of all the things he charged just to go up to Washington to meet with the J6 committee. Fannie also, she wrote a letter to Benny Thomas. He is the chair of the J6 committee. And so she wanted to collude with that committee and also the White House. And there was a meeting on April 2002 where Wade traveled to meet with the committee, and also there was several White House meetings, and they found out that he was given evidence against pertaining to J6, and there was also a conference with the White House, and there was an interview in D.C., and he was building the DA's office $250 an hour to do. And also that Jim Jordan has requested Wade and Fannie's office. They want all the information pertaining to those meetings. So what that can transpire, only someone knows.
Now for the education of the listeners, I don't want to interrupt you, but for the edification of our listeners, Jim Jordan, he's Ohio, and he's the Judiciary Committee up there. Yeah. And Jim Jordan's he's one of the few honest ones in Washington. But I want to add something real quick, because Megyn Kelly, I don't really like her, but she's a former attorney, and she used to be on Fox News. And when the first debate happened with Trump, she and that other clown, Israeli Mossad clown, forgot his name, they start attacking Trump really bad. And, it was ridiculous. In the very first debate before he became president. Now, Megyn Kelly, I dug yesterday after you told me about, this thing with Fannie Willis, the prosecutor down there on Trump in Georgia. I dug and I turned up with a video of Megyn Kelly, where she, as a former attorney, she does know what she's talking about, but she sat and said that Fannie should be indicted for perjury, and she said that Fannie should be disbarred, take her law license from her. And she says, I'll bet you money that's what's going to happen. Now, she put out a very specific report on this. I hope to have it up in the morning or this evening yet with your radio show, but I just want to let the listen audience know this, and I'll put it up there on the same page with your radio show, so they can listen to it also, okay? And these other links that you had sent me and talking about. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I
didn't. Okay, and also, I would also report that on a YouTuber's channel, Steven Gardner, he had one part reporter, Wendell Osoglu. He reported that there was a spy or a mole that was planted in Fannie's office, and that was that's his source, that there was a White House mole. This guy named Jeff DeSantis was planted by on behalf of Biden, just to make sure Fannie did her job correctly. In the election interference case against Trump. And he said this is bigger than Watergate, too. And so the thing is, this guy, his name is Gabe Unu, I guess he helped facilitate it. He was probably sent by Justice Sanders, who is a White House person that handles, I guess, I've got the title that they called him. I should have wrote it down. But he put in Gabe Unu, and he's a Biden administrator of local officials in Georgia. So Jeff DeSantis put Gabe Unu in Fannie's district attorney's office. And so he is the go-to guy in Georgia for liberal politicians and things. So there is, and Trump even stated this, because Trump submitted the invoices of Nathan Wade's activities in Washington into the court for Judge McAfee. So they have finally put up a case of their corruption for the court, and everyone is trying to decipher if McAfee will do the right thing, even though he gave Fannie a $100 donation to her campaign. And this is Jeff, a partner of political Biden media for the Biden campaign. So I guess they said that Fannie, I guess Fannie is in collusion with these people, her office is. And there's a lot to be said about this, because this is treason too on Biden's part. And so Trump's team asserts that Wade's meeting with Biden was a way to control and manage and also help them prosecute him. This was reported on Fox News. Okay, and now I have another YouTuber, Robert Govet. He's a lawyer on YouTube. He talked about Jeff Clark, who was also a defendant of Trump on this case. And he put in a brief, too, about how the players of the so-called insurrection on the motion in Fulton County, they disqualified themselves. Fannie is disqualified by 3 points. And he wrote this brief for the court that they have a personal financial interest because of their relationship together. And it enriched Fannie, and the government officials cannot accept gifts from people that they award contracts to, even if there's no romantic relationship. And also, he said that Fannie's appearance in Bethel Church, it was very incendiary, because she's so racist. She's using the race card, and this could damage the jury pool for them to have a level of fairness against Trump. She's fighting racial resentment, and she's also using this case for her own fame and fortune. Then also, Fannie had threatened Wade's wife, Jocelyn. So as a prosecutor, an officer of the court, she should never be allowed to use her office or the power that she wields for personal gain and for, you know, her own...
She was paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And they were taking these lavish vacations out of taxpayers' money. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but she's also abusing people with her power. And so that is totally wrong. So you have so many strikes against her. And I want to talk about Terrence Bradley for a moment. Terrence Bradley was Wade's friend and law partner. And he also represented Wade in his divorce suit. And he was also reprimanded, or he was fired from the firm because he was engaged in sexual misconduct, I think with either a client and someone who worked there. I think that's what it was. And my theory with Bradley, because on the stand, he wasn't so forthcoming with the truth. Bear in mind, Stu, he was the one that contacted the Trump lawyers to inform them, I guess, of the affair and of things that were happening around Wade and Fannie Willis. Now, he asked the attorney Merchant to give him information to her about the affair. And like I said, on the stand, he kind of didn't want to divulge the information that he had for the Trump team. And it made them making their case against Wade and Fannie rather hard, very difficult. And I think that he did that out of revenge when he called the lawyers for Trump. And I think he later regretted it. And my thing is, I wonder, did Jack officers pay Wade and Fannie Willis visit? Because what they're doing is treason. And I wonder, did he plead with him that in order to save my life, I need you not to divulge the truth on the stand, because there may be, you know what I'm saying, there may be a chance that I may be in further legal trouble because of all of this. And I know how forgiving men are, and you do stick together in hard times. And I really believe that he may have regretted getting involved in this case. Because my mom has a saying that the things you dig for someone else eventually becomes yours, your brain. And I think he did this out of revenge, and I think he regrets it because he was crying on the witness stand. And so it came to find out that the text messages they were released that he was talking to Merchant, one of Trump's lawyers, and he admitted that they had taken many Florida trips, and he also admitted that he knew about this. Affair that he had more knowledge about than anyone, and so it was kind of strange how he was so free to talk to Miss Merchant, but when he went on the stand, he felt like he couldn't tell the court anything. And so that's it about my report.
Okay.
And I wanted to. I don't know if you
want
to add anything to it.
Well, Mike Lindell has My Pillow. You see him on TV all the time, advertising his pillows and, his slippers and sheets and all the other. I mean, he spent a fortune, and his employees kicked in, spent a fortune proving that various states it was voter fraud, okay? And he proved it. And he proved that Georgia was one of the places they committed voter fraud. Now, Arizona, they committed voter fraud. Because I know people, should we say, behind the scenes in Arizona, was in the legislative committees. And they said that they had reported the true lines, and that they came in and they turned and twisted the numbers. Trump won that election. Now, I know that the voting machine company. It was Dominion. I know that they were involved. Now, I looked Dominion up, and anybody can look at my website under the breaking news and see Dominion, voter fraud. Click on the link and read it. It shows the records. It ran back to the original corporation, ran back to the Secretary of State's office in Colorado. My ex-father-in-law's attorney, Norman Brownstein, Daddy Bush's attorney as a CI officer, CI director, he was his counsel, lead counsel. Bill Barr worked for him. And Trump was dumb enough to hire Bill Barr because he had fallen angel possessed human beings that can read people's mind, and he had them around as his aides, and he didn't know it. Now, that voting machine company went back to 3773 something. That's Brownstein's second office where they incorporate stuff. That whole thing was in their control clear up until a few years back. I forgot what it is. You have to look at the records. Came from Secretary of State's office. But now who controls it is Sam Walton, Sam's Club, Walmart, who hauls drugs for him and has for years. It goes back to a family trust in Little Rock, Arkansas that is in control of the Dominion voting machines. Those electronic voting machines are rigged. They can change it by satellite, in the middle of the election and turn back the numbers so nobody ever sees it. But they can see it with their satellite. I just wanted people to be aware of that. Because the only way to get around it, and here's something that I know. I ran for vice president with Tom Hennigan. He was going to be president in 2004. We were getting 10,000 or 10 million hits a month on the website, Hennigan Web President. I told everybody, all the patriots on my radio network and so forth, and the ones I was doing, to do write-in ballots. You can do them about 10 days before the election. You go up to with the election place in your town, and you do a write-in ballot. That way there's no electronic ballot. Now, Super Spook Otis Johnson was freaked about what happened because he calls me up about 2 or 3 days later, and he said, "Do you have any idea how many votes you got?" I said, "No." He said, "You got 9 to 10% of all the votes in the United States because of telling people to write in ballot where they wouldn't be fixed with the Dominion." I said, "Good Lord." So, folks, anybody listening to this next election, go up early, stand in line, and vote. Do your write-in ballot. It's counted that way. With electronic voting machines, they could turn them back with satellites. I just want people to be aware of that. Do you want to comment on that, Nicole?
I think you said it best. I think people should exercise their right and show their vote just as much as they can, because we cannot trust the system.
But the only way to beat the system is do the write-in ballots. That proved to me, Blue Otis's mind. He said, "My God." He says, "I didn't know you were that popular." I said, "I didn't think I was." But people wanted someone else in there in 2004 besides the typical crap that had been going on with the Bushes and everything else. But they wanted some honest people in there. And I know that Trump's a pretty honest, straight shooter. And just like this case in New York about his financial, oh, he ripped people off. There's no victim, folks. You can't charge somebody if there's no victim. You have to have a victim. Nobody got hurt. No financial institution got hurt. No individual got hurt by the Trump organization at all. He paid his loans, the whole bit. But you got to have a victim. Somebody got ripped off. Nobody got ripped off, and they're saying he can't do business in New York, and they're trying to take his properties from him. It's bizarre what they're doing to this man. Totally illegal.
Yeah. It's kind of strange now that his accusers are now being placed under the microscope, because Letitia James has just been reported that she's been receiving dark money, and they don't know where that money has been coming from. So those who point fingers and accuse people of doing things that they didn't do, they're the ones that are doing the corruption.
Yep. They are, just like me, locked up as a political prisoner for 10 and a half months for exposing Silverado, collapsing it, congressional investigations on that, HUD, and the Keating Five, illegal political campaign money laundering of Larry Mizell, Brownstein, and Millman, the state's biggest case in Colorado, I even worked hand-in-hand, had dinner one time after the case was closed, and they had murdered one of the investigators in the thing within days after they proved that they had done this. And they got fined, but nobody got prosecuted. Nobody went to jail, except Bill Wynn on HUD. He was supposed to go to jail, but the dirty, corrupt head federal judge in Denver, Sherman Feinsilver, he was the one that issued a warrant illegally against me. And later, Richard Mates was assigned to the case after I accused him, demanded his recusal from my case, so he did. And then they appointed some other judge, and the next day, they take me over to court, and they appoint him. That night, his son was a drug dealer at Shotgun Willie's strip joint in Denver that Melman and Mizell and Bobby Rifkin and Brownstein all owned. And someone stabbed him and two coke whores and some coke addict that he sold drugs to at the door. He goes back to the apartment because he wants to have sex with that one girl. And they robbed him. They killed him. Pulled Clorox down his throat. That was the judge going to replace Sherman Feinsilver. Well, the clerk at the court just reassigned the cases because he was under mourning, and I got the only honest judge in Denver, and I just named his name. Anyway, Richard Mates. And he stands up and says, he tells the prosecutor, yeah, he says, this case I'm going to dismiss with prejudice. He says, oh, please don't dismiss it with prejudice. Meaning I'd have a felony. They can recharge me and the whole bit. He says the government has spent $750,000 prosecuting this case. And he slammed his gavel down again. And he says, you're telling me the government wasted and you wasted $750,000 trying an innocent man? This case is dismissed with prejudice. And he says, sit down, Mr. Webb, because I had stood up. And he says, sit down. He says, I'm advising you to seek counsel for a remedy to what they have done to you illegally. In other words, find a lawyer and sue him. I can't find a lawyer to sue him. They come pointing guns, goons do, at lawyers' heads, just like they did in my divorce case down in Dallas. They did the same thing to an attorney threatening, the FBI did, that settled the first case at Rollover. I never got a dime after I paid the PI out of the money and paid the chiropractic bills, broke my neck and everything, and the attorney, I got nothing. And then he resigns from the other two cases. And he comes to Jackson County Court and wouldn't say why. Judge says, I can't make him. He says, take him to Bar Association. He'll have to tell you why. And that judge was mad, Jackson County. He was a good judge. And so I never got back with anything. But I walked out of the courtroom, and he's walking ahead of me, goes to the elevator. And I said, tell me right now, I forgot his name. I said, you tell me the truth. Why did you resign? He says, Stu, I was threatened by the FBI. They would take my law license. I had to resign. This is how bad it is, how corrupt it is in this country. Okay?
And that's what the lawyers were talking today in this case with Trump. The last lawyer that spoke in the court case, he talked about how the DA's office was so corrupt and that the whole world was watching. And if he proceeds into side with Fannie Willis, this would be probably one of the biggest miscarriages of justice in our time. So American people need to pray that the right thing will happen in 2 weeks, because that's when the ruling will be settled in 2 weeks in McCarthy's court. And if Trump does not get justice, none of us will be able to have justice.
That's true. And you know,
this case is so important. And I understand the frustration that's in your life. It's unbelievable that in America, someone like Trump is in the crosshairs of having his freedom and his fortune taken away from him.
Just because. You know,
I'm
sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Here's what I do know. That prayer works. I've lived for 40 years. I've had 40 attempts upon my life. I've been anthrax. I've had 3 car crashes. 1 a rollover. Broke my neck. I'm disabled. I got Social Security disability. That's all I got coming in. I mean, and the bills pile up. just like this past month. It cost me $500 more for electricity and water because we were 40 degrees below zero over here in Topeka for nearly a week. And it froze pipes up in a trailer I'm living in cheap. And the electric bill tripled. Tripled. I went, oh my God, I just paid her today and I'm broke again. Paid her out of my little bit of Social Security I get. I got to pay my insurance on my car out of that. And I got to pay a little storage unit where some of my dad's stuff was in. And files he had. But by the time I end, pay my bill for my Wi-Fi hotspot, I'm broke. I'm broke every month. Barely getting by. And I have to get turned up with an extra $500 on top of my normal $150 in utilities. It's like, oh my God. But I did it. I'll be broke this month unless I get contributions and someone helped me out today. They made a $100 donation to me. Out of the $500 I needed, someone made a $20 donation last week. But I did a news blast out to listeners where I've had their emails and I do a news blast out with latest news. And I did a blast out and I had three people write me back and said, Stu, that normally would contribute 10 or 20 bucks. They said, I'd send you some money, but my utility bills have doubled. They've doubled this month. Everybody across the country. I've talked to several people. You know, they've called me and told me, oh man, West Coast to East Coast, from the South Coast to the North Coast, their bills have doubled because of this extreme weather we've had. Now we're having, you know, one day it's 40 degrees out here in Topeka, Kansas, and the next day it's 60. Now tomorrow is supposed to be 60 or 70 in the next couple of days, warming up. But, I mean, it's tough for everybody right now, and I know that. But, you know, you can't even hardly get by anymore. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. And I went to the store today to pick up a few things I needed, and I couldn't believe how much it went up. And that was at Aldi's. They're the cheapest to buy from. And every time you go in there, cheese goes up another 20, 30 cents. This goes up another 20 or 30 cents. And that's what they're doing. They're raising the price of food and raising the price of utilities. I mean, gas has come down, yeah, from $5 a gallon to, what, $3 or something. I haven't bought any gas in a while. But it's ridiculous what is happening. It's all because of this administration that's in there. Joe Biden, a crook, and these crooked congressmen and senators. I'll tell you, when Ross Perot did that sting operation on him, and in 1997, I went to grand jury and they kicked me out of the courthouse with two FBI agents and told me that I was going to be arrested and he was going to spend years in jail. I left, had a subpoena. He closed down the grand jury the next day. Former Mayor Frederico Pena, that took a $2.5 million bribe from Leonard Millman, got fined $1 million because that's all he had left of the bribe. Leonard Millman, my ex-father-in-law, got $80 million fine, and he had 1 year to pay the fine. He said, I don't have $80 million. So he sold the building to Jack DeVoe. Jack DeVoe was a big drug dealer for the CIA and Bush. Used to fly it into Miami. Cocaine. Al Martin reported on him. He told me all about Jack DeVoe. Now, Leonard Millman got fined $80 million. Norman Brownstein got fined $10 million. Larry Mizell took over for Millman, his $100 trillion. He's turned it into $150 trillion now. He controls the largest bank in the United States, BlackRock Blackstone, controls the Federal Reserve, controls the Treasury. And out of Great West Life that Millman had created, they ripped off a ton of savings and loans. He created HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp. It's the largest bank in the world. And they're caught every 2-3 years. Narcotics money laundering. Worldwide. Narcotics money laundering. But this Mizell, he's the fallen angel that jumped out of Millman. That Otis Johnson, he called me up in 2004 and said Leonard Millman's dead. Because attorneys that were connected to and knew Otis in Denver knew that he died. And I said, well, that's good. Maybe it'd take the heat off me. He says, still, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years before he occupied him. The occupation first was when Meyer Lansky, the Jewish crime syndicate that had Power Financial, largest bank in Canada, which Mizell controls, Milman used to control it, when he died, he said whatever lived in him lived for thousands of years before he inhabited him. I said, you're talking about a fallen angel. He says, they at the NSA, we call them aliens. Aliens. That's what their term is. There's 200,000 of them registered with the NSA, and he was NSA at the time. He worked for General Flynn direct, and they murdered him. And 2 weeks later, in 2017, General Flynn was falsely indicted, and he got off those charges. Deal with something. He was National Security Director. But Otis said whatever junk, whatever lived in Leonard Milman lived for thousands of years before it inhabited him in the 70s. And he said, now it's inhabiting Larry Mizell because he was the chosen one by Milman. Because he did so many killings for him. He did everything else. He killed 150 people, ordered the murders. And John King of Denver, a cop, was doing the murders for him. And he was taking bodies down to Juarez, Mexico, and they're dumping them in a big mass grave down there. And they found this big grave of bodies, couple graves. And they dug them up, and a lot of people in Colorado were in that grave because they did the, they could tell by their dental work and et cetera, and the authorities did nothing about it. But this is the kind of things that happen. There's 200,000 of these. Henry Kissinger that died, whatever was in him was a fallen angel. Now it jumped in somebody that he anointed. David Rockefeller, Lawrence Rockefeller, Anwar Ben Sharia, the head rabbi in Israel, Pope Benedict, and it jumped after his death into the current pope, acting pope, I heard. And then we got Patrick Wu of China. He likes living in Dallas. Patrick Wu. And then you have Warburg, Rockefeller, Rothschild. I mean, there's 12 of them. Some of them are dead now. I don't know who they're occupying now, but it was somebody they anointed. And these are the people that control the economies and the banks of the entire world. They control all the oil, all the food, everything. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. But the only thing that's going to stop this, because I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ, and I know I'm living because of that. The only reason. I've seen 100 people, whistleblowers, and others that are now dead over the past 10 to 15 years where they murdered them. One after another after another. And I'm going, oh my God. And you know, they want me dead too. But I know Christ keeps angels of protection around me. And I know because of my faith, this is the only reason I'm breathing. But one thing I do know is the power of prayer. And he taught me in 1997. And to teach others. All we have to do is two or more. You have to ask yourself. You can't go to a preacher and say, oh, pray for me. I got this problem, preacher. You have to go before Christ yourself. Get on your hands and knees and do it. And you'll be surprised. If you want to pray with another person, you do the asking. The other person can confirm with you. And that gives more juice because if two or more together, Christ is in your midst. But I'm telling you, we need to pray for this country. We need to pray for Donald Trump. He's a Christian man. His wife's a very firm believer. I posted something up on her and Melania Trump here this past week. I mean, believes in Christ 100%. Got Trump to start believing. Remember, he was married to two Jewish women before that. I think it was Ivanka or whatever her name, her mother was. And she's married to a Jewish guy. That pushed all this crap with an agreement with Israel and Trump. He's Mossad, folks. He's Mossad. He was feeding Ivanka drugs, my understanding, from Super Spook Otis Johnson when they met. That's the reason she ended up marrying him. But, I mean, we got to pray for that family. We got to pray for the protection of Donald Trump and to pray that these charges, they're all illegal across this country against him. Pray for him. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and by his stripes, Christ didn't die on the cross for the evil ones. He died for all of us that have belief in him. And keeping the church bench warm isn't going to cut it. You're going to have to start praying with your spouses and others and be serious about this, because we could change the whole direction of this country. We're getting ready to go to World War III. They're going to attack us soon, China and Russia and others, all because of Greater Israel, the Ukraine. That's where the Khazarian Jews came from that are occupying Israel today. And they're killing all the true Hebrew bloodline, which are the Palestinians. They've killed, last number, excuse me, I saw was 28,000 since October have died, Palestinians. Men, women, and children. They're trying to empty the whole place out so they call it Israel. Grab all that land. But prayer will work. If it doesn't, as Otis said, they saw in the super collider, and others had told me the same thing, the two stars would hit us between about 2021. Now, he died in 2017, murdered. 2021, two stars would hit us. That's Wormwood in Revelation 13 and his sister star. And it turns the water bitter and people drink the water or die from it. Now, the second day he said, it was before 2025 is out, that's next year, that, and it can be delayed at prayer, that a huge planet, a fireball, six times the size of planet Earth, whips around the sun and it hits planet Earth. I said, that's the end of Earth, that's the beginning of heaven. He says, yeah, that's right, Stu, and they see it in the super collider. The super collider, CERN, C-E-R-N, over in Switzerland. So I just thought I'd throw those tidbits out. We don't have much time. We don't have much time. The Antichrist is ready to take over the new temple, and it's not the Wailing Wall. The Christians think that's the temple. No, it's south of there, 6 miles in Davies, D-A-B-I-S, Israel. They already built it. It's ready for the Antichrist to come in and occupy the place. And rabbis have been talking, because Joe told me he gets newspapers out of Israel. They have to pay money for them. Professor Joe that comes on with me a lot, and he told me that they're reporting, rabbis are reporting, they've seen the Messiah. The Messiah, meaning the Antichrist. They've seen him walking the streets of Jerusalem. So it's going to be a bad situation when that punk occupies. And look what Israel's doing. They're creating World War III, doing exactly what they want to do. Anyway, you got any comments on this, Nicole? You have anything else to report on?
No. I just want to be aware that the next 2 weeks, like you said, we need to be praying every night for Donald Trump and his family, and we need to pray for the brave men and women that put their lives on the line for us every day to keep us safe, and just be aware that we are fighting for our freedom. And we have to be vigilant about it.
You want to end this with a prayer? I know you're a prayer warrior. Go ahead.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and opportunity that we can share the truth and the truth about your word. I want to pray for this nation that we restore the values and the principles that your son has given his life up to teach us. And I also pray for Donald Trump and his family. May you put your angels of protection around him and his family. Give him the strength and the resolve to fight another day for this country. And may angels tread wherever he steps, wherever he learns to speak. And I want to pray for Stillwell. I want to pray that he gets the finances that he needs for the assistance of his viewers. He's put so much time and effort and energy to put the truth out. He's even put his life on the line so he can live with integrity and knowing that he's serving you daily. So thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your son. Amen.
And I'm in agreement, and I thank you, Nicole. And I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hang on, Nicole. Let me kill the show.